This is Audible.
Empire's Orders, Aether's Revival, Book 9. Written by Daniel Shinhofen. Performed by Andrea Parsnow. Previously. Arriving in Kroga had taken them months of marching, but Gregory's unit finally made it. After he'd gotten his orders in Bloodrock, he took his men into Kroga proper. While marching through an enemy's kingdom wouldn't come without complications, they weren't as bad as Gregory had feared. It just meant having honor fights between the youth of Kroga and his men. An unexpected side effect of allowing the fights was fostering some goodwill between the Krogians and his men. An honor guard was appointed to them in Osla, helping make their passage through Kroga easier. Even then, the matches continued, as Gregory could see the good in them. In Gamlay, that meant facing a champion. Gregory didn't embarrass him, instead making sure the fight lasted long enough for the champion to retain his honor. That left the Magi with a debt owed by champion Eric Rolfson, but it wasn't collected before he had to push on to Krogheim. The capital of Kroga, Krogheim, was situated on the shore. The seaport was the biggest and oldest city in the kingdom, and it had a few very distinctive features. On the cliffs above the city was a temple of Aether. Inside the temple, there was a message carved by Krog, punctuated by his embedded axe. The inner walls of the city rose higher than the outer walls, and as Gregory confirmed, they'd been raised by Aether. Krog's home was inside the walls, the longhouse also having been enchanted by Aether to survive everything. The last noteworthy building that stood out against the other structures was the Empire's embassy. Finally making it to the embassy, Gregory couldn't see his wives right away, as he'd been summoned to the ambassador. The ambassador, Rudit Glowstone, was also part of Aether's guard and a freshly minted Grand Master. After a brief chat, allowing her to gauge her new assistant, she let him go to his wives. Once he'd left her office, he finally found his wives, and soon to be wives after so long apart. The time away had worn on all of them to various degrees, but reunited, their love grew stronger than before. The few days following Gregory's arrival in Krogheim were a whirlwind. He went out with his wives and fiancées to shop and complete the last part of the pre-marriage ritual, a tea ceremony. With that done, the wedding was set for the next day. Following the customs of Kroga, Gregory walked to the temple wearing a flower wreath around his neck. The friends he'd met on the way to Krogheim and strangers alike stood in his way to stop him from reaching the temple, as was tradition in Kroga, but Gregory's love wasn't going to be denied. He bested everyone who stood in his way, even when it meant having to kill a berserker champion who just wouldn't stop. The wedding was overseen by a priest of Krog and those who'd come up with Gregory. When the ceremony was over, the newlyweds returned to the embassy to consummate their unions and finally experience the desires they'd shared with him so long ago. Kroga was turning out to be a wonderful post for the growing family. Even when there were new honor challenges, they were met with care. They became a daily occurrence that continued to foster goodwill with Aether's guard. It also helped cement an invitation from the Krogheim Council for the embassy to participate in the New Year's festivities. Not everything was good, though, as old troubles came back. Buldoon's embassy had a black cat, an assassin from Buldoon who tried to take out the family with explosives. If not for Gregory's dedication to foresight, they might never have known. With it, they not only thwarted the attempt, but also captured the assassin and had him shipped back to the Empire for questioning. Even with that dark cloud, some other good was right behind it. Darkness finally revealed herself to the family. She was a being made of Aether's flame, having a core of Ryuite created and enchanted by Aether himself. Darkness was afraid of what their reactions would be, but she was met only by love and acceptance. Being accepted not only by Gregory, but all of his wives, the weight Darkness had felt lifted from her. It would still be years before they could do more than briefly touch her, but all of them were looking forward to that day. With the solstice over, the festival was upon them. The guard unit who fought earned praise for their honorable fights, with the sergeant of the unit being praised by High Priest Stenson for his actions. Jen bested some champions to make it to the finals, as did Gregory, with both of them making friends with the combatants. The festival wasn't all fights, as the ambassadors had the chance to talk during the week. Gregory's actions before coming to Krogheim and his ability to fight being on display was a topic of interest. Most of the ambassadors were planning to visit the embassy to speak with Rudit, but also with Gregory. On the last day of the festival, Gregory encountered something else new. Uncertainty about the future that wasn't just blank. The newest High Champion of Kraga, Ragnar Iverson, was more than just a fierce warrior. He bested Jen with not just skill, but his Aether use. When Ragnar and Gregory met in the last match, the reason behind the uncertainty was revealed. Ragnar was like Gregory. He was a god reborn. Krog was joyous to find that his brother-in-law, Aether, had come back, but was puzzled that Gregory wasn't fully invested with his old memories. The fight was epic, one that would be retold for ages. In the end, Ragnar simply had greater control of his Aether, more Aether, and was just as skilled, if not more, with a weapon. Gregory lost for the second time in his life during a tournament. Ragnar promised that they would speak again, as his sister would be thrilled to find out that Aether was back. That bombshell was shared with his wives later that evening. Krog's sister was Vera, meaning that Ragnar's sister might very well be Vera reborn. They would welcome her with open arms if she was their equal in loving Gregory. The next week or two looked to be packed full of things to take care of. The Age Day ritual for the Empire youth in Kraga, the ambassadors speaking to the Grandmaster Rudit and Gregory, and then Ragnar bringing his sister to meet Gregory and his wives. Kraga wasn't the bloody post they'd all feared, but it definitely wasn't going to be a simple posting either. Chapter 1. Gregory was glad that today wasn't going to be complicated. It was almost a return to normalcy after the festival. There weren't going to be any challengers today, as most of the city would be sleeping off their hangovers or waking up in new beds. For the embassy, it would be hosting the Age Day ritual for the citizens of the Empire living in Kraga.
"Nothing to worry about today," Gregory told his family.
"That's good," Ling said,
her lion ears twitching as she smiled. Her light green cat eyes were full of love as she rested against her best friend, Clover.
"Who's doing the ceremony?"
Clover asked, her bushy red-orange squirrel tail twitching behind her.
"Rishana," Gregory said. "That's who Rudit picks."
"Me?"
Rishana asked, surprised at being named. Her rabbit ears shifted as she looked up from the magi squares she was copying.
"She'll have me tell you, so I'm shortcutting it by doing it now. All of us will be there, but you'll be the one to administer the ritual."
"It'll be fine," Mindy said softly, hugging Rishana.
"You do great."
Rishana looked into Mindy's dual-colored irises, the star-shaped divide being one of her most distinctive features. Taking a deep breath, Rishana hugged her wife.
"I hope so."
Jen reached over to stroke Mindy's fox ears.
"Her dear healer wouldn't lie." "Not to one of you, no."
Mindy shivered at the soft touch.
"Don't tease her too much, Jen."
Yukiko giggled. Finished with brushing her long white blonde hair back, Yukiko put her brush away.
"Nothing else of importance today, Greg?"
"Nothing major. Ling gets to look at the enchantments in the ambassadorial office."
"Wonderful,"
Ling purred.
"I hope to understand them in short order."
Clover works on more healing items for Rudit."
"She wants stronger ones. It's pushing me."
Clover beamed.
"But I'll manage them."
"The rest of us just handle paperwork and odd tasks for the day," Gregory shrugged. "I get to sit down with Rafik for a bit at Rudit's insistence, so he can get notes for Serenia."
"You don't mind that, though, do you?"
Jen asked. He looked at his smallest wife with a smile.
"Rafik has done so much for us. I'd never begrudge him anything. Making sure his task is completed for Serenia is perfectly fine by me. It's the fact Master Damon will get the reports and make them available that worries me."
"That's a good point,"
Yukiko said. She pinned her hair back with combs, allowing her bright cyan eyes to be seen easily.
"Shall we start on our magi squares?"
"That'd be for the best, so we aren't late for breakfast,"
Mindy said.
"These arms master squares are far more difficult than the ones we've done before,"
Gregory said, pulling out his wax tablet and the puzzle for the day.
"They're pushing our mind path forward,"
Rishana said, then smiled.
"We must continue to strive in all ways."
"For the family,"
Ling nodded. The others could only agree with that sentiment. Breakfast was pleasant, as Barney and Petal made good meals. His brief chat with the three lieutenants filled them in on the lack of anything going on that day, though they would need extra men to handle the youths and parents coming for the ritual. It was just before seventh bell when Gregory made it to the ambassador's office. Makar Ellen, Rudit's son and assistant, smiled when he entered.
"Good morning, Gregory."
Gregory paused by the part Mink Yurtik's desk.
"Good morning to you too, Makar. Nothing bad that I'm aware of." That's good news. Go on in.
Entering the ambassador's office, he went to the desk to wait for Rudit to finish her paperwork. It didn't take the ambassador long, and she looked up when she was done.
Gregory?
Report.
Nothing terrible, Rudit. The H-Day goes fine, though you need to choose who does the ritual.
Let's have Roshana do it. Make sure to tell her.
I already have, Gregory grinned. Also, my vision showed you allowing Ling to have a little time studying the enchantments in here.
That should be fine. I'll find time today. You, however, will find time to sit down with Rafik. You should answer his questions about the festival while they are still fresh in your mind.
Understood. The ambassadors will send messages to you today to set up appointments this week.
I'll start looking at my schedule to arrange it then. I assume they all want to speak with you as well.
You did mention that.
With what you did during your time in the North, plus your showing at the festival, it isn't odd. Do make sure to read the books from me and Rafik about late manifestation of dual magics. I have no doubt you'll need that knowledge.
Yes, ma'am.
Anything else?
That's everything.
Good. Let me tell you about yesterday. Gregory stood behind Roshana and Rudit with his wives. In the yard in front of them was the line of youths to be tested and their parents. The number of partial yurtics in the group was far higher than Gregory expected, but with how open Kroga was, it made sense to him. It saddened him that some of the children only had a single human parent with them, making it clear that their yurtic parent didn't feel safe coming. He couldn't fault any pure yurtic not wanting to enter embassy grounds.
Citizens of the Empire, welcome.
Rudit smiled brightly.
I am the ambassador for the next few years, Grandmaster Rudit Glowstone of Aethersguard. As you can see, my assistants are also from Aethersguard. Our clan is humbled to represent the Empire. We are again on the rise, and if you do become a Magi today, it only takes dedication and belief in Aether returning to join once you have passed the midpoint of your novice career. I will not be conducting the Age Day ritual. Instead, Roshana Pettit will be. She has never done so before, and she can use the experience for later in life.
Rudit stepped back, making it clear that it was all on Roshana now. Roshana swallowed down her nerves, smiling kindly.
Today's a big day for all of you. You become adults, and possibly even Magi. As you can see, I have Yurtic heritage like many of you. My family moved from Lemos to the Empire before I was born. While it can be difficult to rise as a Magi with Yurtic heritage, it isn't impossible. And with the right friends and the right clan, you can find yourself growing strong far faster than your peers.
A few of the youths looked encouraged by her words, but others hunched further in on themselves.
Let us begin,
Roshana said, beckoning the first person forward. The first was a young man who looked at Roshana with a hint of contempt. He was one of three who didn't have any yurtic heritage. Doing as his father had instructed, he took a knee in front of Roshana.
I've come to become an adult Magi.
Roshana lifted her head and spoke clearly.
Child, you have come before me on the verge of adulthood. Let us see if you have the spark of Aether inside you. Aether, have you blessed this child with your grace?
As she intoned the last few words, she grabbed his head firmly, pushing a spark of her aether into him. Her hand flared blue, and she looked down at the youth impassively while he screamed in agony. For the fresh adult, it felt like an age before he was released to fall to the ground, but for everyone else, it was only a matter of a few seconds.
Alas, you are no Magi. You are, however, an adult. Celebrate your passage into adulthood.
Roshana finished speaking and nodded to the older man who'd come with the young man. His father rushed forward to help his son up. Slowly, the pair walked away, opening the spot for the next wide-eyed youth.
It's brief, child,
Roshana said softly to the young woman with otter bestial features.
Come on, it's time to become an adult.
With slow steps, the young woman moved up and knelt before Roshana.
I'm ready, Magi.
Her words shook with fear, but she said them. Roshana touched her head before gently squeezing to hold her firmly.
Child, it'll be okay. Today is your age day, and possibly your start as a Magi. Pray to Aether if you hope to become a Magi. He might hear you. Now, let's see if you have the spark of Aether inside you. Aether, have you blessed this child with your grace?
The young woman wasn't blessed. Nor were the other six who were tested. When Roshana finished with the last one, she exhaled.
Oh, sadly, there were no magi raised with Aether's blessing today. But the Empire grows stronger with new adults to help us stay strong. Rejoice in your new status as adults and pray to Aether that the Empire endures for years to come.
Rudit stepped forward to stand beside Roshana.
Go with Aether's blessing, and know that we are here if you need assistance as citizens of the Empire.
The crowd began to filter back out of the yard, watched over by two squads of men. Rudit motioned the Magi to follow her. Once they were back inside, she smiled.
Roshana, that was well done. I'm curious as to why you changed what you said every time.
I said what felt right for each of them,
Roshana replied.
Did I do something wrong?
No, it's fine. Most magi normally just recite the normal lines over and over. I have to say, your changes helped make the ritual far nicer. For me, at least. You're all dismissed to your duties. Ling, come with me. You'll get an hour to look at the enchantments today.
Yes, ma'am.
Ling beamed. With that, everyone went their separate ways. All of them had tasks that had been given to them by Rudit. Gregory had only made it a dozen yards from the entrance when he saw Basil.
Basil!
Gregory called out, stopping the squire.
Did you come to watch?
The younger man's badger ears twitched, his black eyes shifting away from Gregory's.
Yes, sir. I know I'll be there next year.
Worried?
Yes. I might be a magi, and that means going to Westrake. Or I'll stay here with you, but then Dot and I have a problem because of the rules.
Gregory gently took Basil's shoulder, guiding the young man to walk with him.
That's true. Which would you prefer?
I don't know, Greg. Being a magi, I could join the clan and maybe do good like you do, but that'll mean years away from Dot.
And she'll pass away long before you do.
Gregory added gently. Basil stopped, his eyes slowly growing large.
It's not something most people consider before they become a magi, Gregory said, stopping with him. There's the option of when you become an adult that you leave my unit, too. Makar would likely find you a post here, and then you'd have a few years to figure out with Dot what would be best for the both of you together.
Basil looked up, meeting Gregory's eyes.
Sir, I hope I'm not a magi.
Gregory smiled softly.
If I had the power to control it, I'd help you, Basil. Only Aether in his full power has that ability.
Yes, of course, sir. Do you think praying to him would help?
It couldn't hurt. Why don't you talk with Dot later? She should know what you're thinking. Every relationship takes work and communication between the partners.
Yes, right. Thank you, Greg.
Go on. You still have work to do.
Yes, sir.
Basil saluted, then hurried off. Gregory watched him go, wondering if darkness could make sure Basil wasn't a magi. He'd hate for the young man to see the woman he loved age and die long before him.
Magi deal with it all the time, though, don't they? Even Dia's about to open herself to that pain with Will off, he thought.
Chapter 2 Rafik stepped aside when he opened the door.
Ah, come in, Greg.
I thought you'd have been at the ceremony.
No, I was getting my notes in order. Thank you for coming to speak with me today.
I'm happy to make your life easier. Rudit made sure I was free to do so as well.
She means swell.
Rafik took a seat at the table in his room.
I have some berry tea, if you'd like.
Please.
Once they both had cups, Rafik set his notebook on the table.
Your dual affinity will become known. I can't stop that.
It's fine. It was a very public display, after all. It would be talked about regardless, so you should report it. There's no reason for you to incur trouble over it.
Thank you,
Rafik said, dipping his snout.
I'd like to talk about some things outside of the record, if that's okay.
With you, Greg, yes. Honestly, I would gladly speak freely with any of your family.
We're honored,
Gregory said, bowing his head. Rafik chuckled as he sipped his tea.
Honored by a Magus Tyr Magi. How wonderful it would be.
Trailing off, Rafik looked into the distance.
Give it time, my friend. Give it time.
Blinking, Rafik nodded.
Of course.
They sat in companionable silence for a time, enjoying their drinks. When they finished their cups, Rafik collected them to return for cleaning, along with the now empty pot. When he came back to the table, he didn't open his book right away.
"Did you want to start with my questions or with yours?"
Rafik asked.
"Let's make sure you have your answers first, just in case," Gregory said.
Opening his notebook, Rafik pulled out an inkwell and stylus.
"Very well. I'd like to start with your thoughts on being asked to fight during the festival."
"I was honored," Gregory said. "Being allowed to fight during their festival should be seen as a great honor to any Magi. Kroga respects your strength if you do, but also knows you won't disrespect their culture. While some Magi might scoff at that, I find it to be a good step. A few years ago, we fostered good relationships with Buldoon, so why not start trying to do the same here with Kroga?"
"You think Kroga and the Empire can have peace?"
"No. I'd love it if they could, but no. Kroga sees Magi who go to war as evil. It's why they attack our country. The information is kept from younger Magi. I'm not sure why, but it is. Physical enhancement, force, and foresight are the only Magi that Kroga accepts as okay in war. Every other Magi fighting is what drives them to such zealotry against us. As long as Magi go to war, we'll never have peace short of one of our countries being wiped away."
Rafik wrote slowly for a minute.
"Your words will not be taken well by some."
"The truth can hurt people, but it doesn't make it any less true," Gregory said.
Rafik's snout crinkled into a small smile.
"Well said. Now, on your first day of fighting in the Polearms Division, you faced a champion, Ava Hernadotter, someone who is well known in Kroga for her skill with a spear. The fight was a masterclass of spear and naginata. How did it feel to you?"
"Ava is an arms master of the spear. I don't know if she's been acknowledged as such in Kroga, but I'll say she is. She was also a mid-tier magus in Aether levels, as she's a physical enhancement user. It was a close fight the entire time. When our Aether levels dimmed at roughly the same time, we agreed to fight with skill alone."
"And when you fought her with just skill, you bested her in just a few short minutes,"
Rafik said.
"Knowing that, would you still call her an arms master?"
"Yes. I can defeat Egil and other well-known arms masters. While she isn't as skilled as Egil with her weapon alone, she's still highly skilled. I'd caution any adept or fresh magus against fighting her without an edge of their own."
"Very well."
Rafik got his notes down, then paused.
"That wasn't your toughest fight. For only the second time during a tournament, you lost. Ragnar Ivar's son, the newest High Champion of Krog, defeated your wife Jen, and then you to win the festival. What can you tell me about that fight?"
Gregory sat back, thinking about what he could say on the record.
"Ragnar is skilled. He's easily my equal, if not more. If it was just weapons, he'd be at least an equal to Elder Ironhand. Ragnar doesn't have the depth of Aether that the Elder has, though. I'd equate Ragnar's Aether to a late-tier magus. If Jen hadn't taxed him earlier, he would have been in far better shape when fighting me."
"High praise for him."
"Praise from an adversary should be seen as respect. He has my respect for his skill with a weapon and his honor. We fought not just with weapons, but unarmed when he disarmed me. He's a few years older than me, so I have time to meet his skill level. He's exceptional, and should be treated as worthy of all due respect. If he encounters a Magi on the field, I'd pray for the Magi. If war came, it would take someone like Elder Ironhand to meet him. No disrespect to the Grand Masters who might face him, but do not take him lightly."
Rafik wrote until he finished his notes.
"During that fight, you exhibited a second magic."
"It's funny, but it's the second time I've used physical enhancement magic."
"Second?"
Rafik asked.
"I've told you the story about my age day, right?"
"Yes."
"Did I omit that part? When I punched the Bane Wolf, my hand was aether-coated?"
Rafik just stared at him before his snout creased.
"You did."
"How odd. I remember the pain, of how it burned for even that brief moment of aether to punch the beast. It was searing, unimaginable pain. I must have blocked out the memory until the fight in the arena."
"I see. Multiple stones will glow if your combined magic isn't represented. If the Ryuite is foresight, how did Master Damon miss the normal physical enhancement gem glowing?
Rafik murmured as he wrote.
The Ryuite was blinding, Gregory said. I had to turn my head away. Perhaps the other wasn't powerful enough to be seen against that.
That would be for someone more versed on Aether's blade than me,
Rafik chuckled.
Master Damon will be highly interested in this. If he missed a second gem lighting up, he'll be very unhappy with himself.
Rafik paused, giving Gregory a look.
But you had no connection to physical enhancement in class, did you?
Gregory really wished he'd read about dual magics appearing later in life, but he could only push on with what he'd already said.
Not that I've noticed, but I can think of a few reasons for it. What if I'd blocked out the memory because of the pain? Maybe I wasn't consciously giving it my all. If it was a weaker magic, I just might not have noticed it either.
Those are good points,
Rafik nodded.
I assume Jen will help you get a handle on your new magic?
I'll be training it vigorously. Having a second magic will be incredibly helpful in many situations.
How did the loss feel? You haven't had any besides losing to Jen in your second novice tournament.
Humbling. Losing isn't a bad thing if it's in a controlled environment. It can be used to push you to do more. Some of my previous antagonists will likely take great delight that I lost. Facing Ragnar was the toughest fight I've ever endured. If I face him again in a serious setting, I hope that my redoubled training helps me.
Rafik finished making his notes and then put his stuff away.
All done. Thank you, Greg. I know your answers will raise many questions. Some will be about your prowess and magic, but also about how much you praised your enemies and your thoughts on the wars with Kroga.
I'm sure there will be questions, but as long as they don't come from the Emperor, I'll be fine.
Yes, questions from him would be serious,
Rafik said grimly.
Let's move past that. You had questions for me.
I wanted to check in with my friend. You spent a few days speaking with Ambassador Blit. Are you okay?
Rafik exhaled slowly and sat back.
Yes, we talked about Westric's fall, the families of the Archive, and the condition of those of us left. It was painful at times, but good.
Your family?
Gregory asked gently. Rafik looked away.
Greg, please don't ask me some questions.
Very well, my friend. If you want to talk, I'm here. My family's here. You know us.
Looking up, he met Gregory's eyes.
I do. I am honored to be called a friend by all of you. Truly, it's something I'll hold as a blessing for my entire life. What Blit and I talk of, it shouldn't be repeated outside the Archive.
Then I withdraw the question and won't pry again. I just wanted to make sure you were okay.
Good news and bad, as with all of life. Thank you for introducing me to him. He'll not see you as a magi, but as a friend to those who haven't known them for generations.
Gregory bowed his head.
Thank you, Rafik. How about a game of shogi?
That would be lovely,
Rafik smiled. Chapter 3. The next day, Greta Vexadotter brought 5 people with her to challenge the man. Jen and Mindy met her, then went to the closest fighting pit to oversee them. There wasn't any extra training for the men because they weren't prepping for another festival, so more of the units got days off. The men who got days off outside of the embassy didn't have any troubles. The locals seemed to respect the fact that the Magi guards had fought during the festival. That by itself was big news for the embassy, as scuffles and minor incidents were the norm for the ambassadorial guards. The only hiccup was people asking for duels, with the sergeants explaining how the current system worked. From what Yukiko's men said, the locals were disappointed that more of the men didn't fight every day, but understood that they had jobs to do and needed time off as well. Ling got more time with the privacy enchantment in the ambassador's office. She'd told her family that it was the most complex enchantment she'd seen. Her excitement made them smile, as Ling was normally the cool, calm, and collected one of them. For her to be so excited spoke to just how eager and happy she was about her work. Gregory took time to read some of the books about dual magics manifesting later in life. Almost all of them had the theme of showing an early hint of the dual magic at the lowest levels that faded and then returned after the Magi rose in the tiers. Gregory was glad he could use that as cover for his sudden physical enhancement. Rudit informed Gregory about the ambassador's upcoming visits so he could prepare himself for those days. She reminded him of their idea of trying to further entrap Buldoon Ambassador Shinner, wanting to find out just what he knew about the assassination attempt. Sitting down with Rudit, Gregory was contemplative. She gave him a minute to think before she cleared her throat.
Gregory?
Sorry, Rudit, Gregory said as he was pulled out of his thoughts. The embassy has no trouble today. I'll be going with the challengers instead of Jen.
Why is that?
A champion shows up, Gregory said softly. He is unpleasant to my wife. If I go, he accepts his defeat. I've informed Jen, and she's accepted what I suggested. Besides, that'll mean tomorrow she'll get to face champion Ava Hernadaughter. I did peek at tomorrow since I'd be here with you for the ambassador.
I see. Why is the champion unpleasant toward Jen and not you? Did she not prove herself at the festival?
This champion wasn't here for it. He arrived yesterday and heard of Magi offering honor fights. If Jen goes, the fight doesn't end amiably, and in some cases, she has to kill him. Being bested by such a small woman apparently threatens his pride. If I defeat him, he accepts it because I'm an arms master, a man, and I pushed Ragnar during the festival. He's heard about my fight.
Ah, I see. Well, the less said about some men's fragile egos, the better. Is there anything of note for the men off duty, or any of the staff?
No, ma'am.
Well then, let me tell you about yesterday, Rudit said, sitting back to lay out everything she knew Gregory needed to hear.
Gregory squeezed Mindy's hand as they waited for the challengers to arrive.
It'll be okay, my heart.
I know. I'm just upset that this champion would push Jen so much if she went.
Gregory smiled at his loving wife.
That just shows how much you love and care for all of us.
Mindy blushed lightly as she smiled.
It's true.
Here they come, Gregory sighed. Just be your normal happy self, as much as you can be. Tomorrow Jen's going again, and she'll have a far better day.
She's looking forward to facing Ava. You checking into tomorrow for her made her very happy.
Gregory smiled, but addressed Greta as the partial barrier tick led the challengers closer.
Greta, good morning.
Good morning, Magi. I wasn't sure if it would be you or your wife again, Greta replied.
It'll be Jen more often, but today was a good day for me to come, Gregory said. Sergeant, open the gates so we may depart.
Yes, sir,
Yukiko's man said, getting his unit moving.
Aether bless the fight, sir.
I'm sure he will, as will Krog, Mindy said.
Greta led the combined group to the approved spot. They climbed into the sunken ring, staying against the walls. The Krogians were on one side, and the Magi guards were on the other. Gregory, Mindy, and Greta stood against the wall between the groups on one side. Before they could begin, a heavily scarred man jumped down into the fighting ring.
Good. I was told correctly.
The champion smirked.
You would be Magus Petit.
Who are you, sir? It's polite to introduce yourself when demanding someone's name,
Gregory said pleasantly. The Lion Yurtik chuffed, then grinned at Gregory.
I am Champion Freder Lion's son. I was delayed from returning in time for the festival, or else I would have faced you then. Rumor was that it would be you or the other Magi, the small one. I'm glad to see I have a real challenge today.
The normal crowd was already forming, but when word spread that a champion was in the pit, more people began to flock to the railing to watch. One of them was unexpected to everyone but Gregory.
Champion Lion's son, these honor fights have been held with respect,
Elder Annadaughter said primly.
The elders have approved of them. Do not disrespect the warrior who earned her honor during the festival.
The Yurtik looked at Annadaughter, then dipped his muzzle fractionally.
I meant no such disrespect, Elder. I know this Magi fought Ragnar Iverson in the last match, and that is the talk of the city. That's all.
Gregory kept his smile in place. Only he and his family knew that would have been a lie if Jen had come.
I'd ask the challengers and Magi guard to leave the ring, as well as Greta and my wife. You use a maul, and I use a naginata, so it's best to have as much room as possible.
Lion's Son frowned at Gregory. He had his weapon in his spatial ring, so how did the Magi know about it? Grunting, he summoned his training weapon instead of his real maul.
I do prefer the maul, yes.
Mindy squeezed Gregory's hand, then got the Magi guards to climb out of the fighting pit. When she did, Greta started the others moving so the entire sunken fighting circle would be clear.
Magus Petit,
Anna Daughter said.
It speaks to your honor to allow this match with no notice or even proper courtesy. You again show that you are more than your country.
Gregory bowed to Anna Daughter.
You honor me, Elder. I would prefer if champions would tell Greta the day before in the future. Greta has proven herself to be not only honorable, but wise in whom she allows to come each day. That's the only concession we'd ask to continue these honor fights.
As the Council has a vested interest in these fights, we will approve that,
Anna Daughter said.
I will make sure it is known.
She turned her gaze to Lion Son.
Fight well, champion.
Lion Son dipped his muzzle to her.
For Krog, Elder.
For Krog.
Gregory summoned his sheathed naginata. I'll be using my sheathed weapon. This way I don't have to worry about it breaking. I really should see if my wife can enchant an unbreakable sparring weapon for me.
That's fine, Magi.
Lion Son snorted.
You're not going to get into your armor?
Gregory eyed the maul Lion Son was holding. It was a lighter wood than a normal maul, but it would still have the ability to break his bones if the Urtik swung with his strength. His aether sight picked up the enchantment on it, and he figured it was what he'd just suggested, an unbreakable sparring weapon.
You aren't, so I won't either,
Gregory said. He stretched out, then faced Lion Son.
Elder, if you would call us to start.
Very well. Let this honor match be seen by Krog. Neither of you are to use your magic, as it is an honor fight with training weapons. Fight!
Lion Son sprang forward, not as one enhanced by physical enhancement, but as a normal person. Gregory let go of foresight as he moved to parry away the swing. The champion wasn't physical enhancement, leaving only two possibilities. Lion Son was either foresight enhanced or a force user, and Gregory was pretty sure the champion didn't have foresight. Lion Son's skill with the maul was good, but he was no arms master. His sneer dwindled as the fight dragged on, as he couldn't land a clean hit on the Magi. He'd never heard of a Magi who was so skilled with a weapon. Gregory smiled faintly when Lion Son's sneer faded. He was superior to him in skill with their chosen weapons. He did his best to allow the champion to fight freely. It was interesting to fight a champion who wasn't a physical enhancement user, and Gregory was enjoying the difference. Lion Son eventually backed away, staring at Gregory with a frown.
What is this? No Magi can fight that well without aether!
My apologies, Gregory said.
Resting the naginata against his shoulder, he summoned his metal and pinned it to his howri.
There.
Lion Son stared at the metal for a moment, then looked to the elder.
An arms master Magi?
From everything we saw during the festival, he earned it,
Anna Daughter said.
The fight is still active.
Lion Son jerked to face Gregory, but the Magi hadn't moved.
I see. Fine. Come, Magi. Let's end this.
Gregory dipped his head.
As you requested.
With that, he advanced, his face grim as he went all out. Lion Son met the attack and was quickly pushed back and back until he hit the wall. With nowhere to go, he roared, releasing his bloodlust. Normally, that made all of his foes back off and tremble in fear. Gregory just smiled, then executed a beautiful kata that ended with his sheathed naginata at Lion Son's throat.
Thank you for the fight,
Gregory said, stepping back and bowing when Anna Daughter called it over. Lion Son blinked dumbly for a moment before he shook his head.
You resisted my roar?
Yes, any Magus who follows the spirit path could,
Gregory said. He put his weapon and metal away.
It was an honor, sir. If you don't mind, we'd like to let the honor fights continue. The youth want to prove themselves.
Lion Son nodded as he put his weapon away.
Yes, of course. Thank you for the honor.
With the fight over, the others returned to the ring. Mindy touched Gregory, and not finding anything wrong with him, squeezed his hand.
Well done, my heart.
Thank you, dearest. You'll have healing to do soon enough.
Well fought, Magus, Greta told Gregory. May I call forth the first fighters?
The ring is yours, Greta,
Gregory said. His eyes went to where Lion Son was leaving. The champion was beside Anna Daughter, who seemed to be taking the champion to task. It was a far better ending than if Jen had come. Chapter 4
Good morning indeed, Gregory exhaled languidly.
She isn't losing any of her desire to do that, Ling chuckled. Come on, Clover. We need to get dressed.
Clover kissed Gregory's thigh before she scampered out of bed, pausing to kiss Yukiko on her way to pick up her clothing.
Thank you, Yuki. It makes him happy.
Yukiko giggled. She looked at Gregory, who was beginning to get out of bed.
Besides, you put on quite the show.
Does she ever?
Mindy shivered.
If we didn't get up as early as we do, we'd have trouble getting her training done on time, Jen snickered. I have the basin ready for you, Mindy.
Thank you.
The foxier tick beamed and went to make sure she was as clean as possible for the day. She took Roshana with her, as she'd pinned their wife in place while they'd watched Clover.
You too, dear.
Probably for the best.
Roshana grinned, her rabbit ears quivering.
Thank you for giving me that moment, dearest healer.
All the love, Ling murmured happily. I'm glad you all get your desires, too. Mine is easy, because we always cuddle when we finally go to sleep.
It can take a little creativity sometimes,
Yukiko said, tying her obi.
But for our family, I'm happy to manage it.
Gregory paused to kiss Yukiko softly.
Thank you, Yuki. I'd be lost trying to keep you all happy. You always make it seem so effortless.
Happiness is easy. Making sure we all have our desires met can be a little more involved. I don't think I'll ever fail, but unfortunately, I eventually might.
Even if one of us doesn't get what we desired today, what would you do?
Jen asked with a knowing look.
I'd make sure you get it tomorrow.
Then we'll be fine, Jen laughed. Because you'd make sure, and we know that.
Gregory smiled as he pulled his clothing on.
She really would. All of us would, though, wouldn't we? I don't think any one of us would let one of our family go without meeting their needs if we knew.
The others agreed with him. Yukiko might be the one who'd notice first, but all of them would be watching to make sure none of them ever felt neglected.
All of us being together might be chaotic, but it'll be full of love, Mindy said. What I worry about is how often we'll all be able to be together, especially with our princess so far away.
Mindy put stress on the noble rank so they'd all know who she was referring to.
That's true, Jen sighed. There are also our obligations to the clan. Bishop will send us to different postings for the Empire. After these 5 years, we'll probably be split apart across the Empire.
That brought the mood down in the room. It was likely true, but it was years away, and none of them wanted to think about it right now. As he got dressed, Gregory looked at the day with foresight. He smiled when he found a couple of differences from usual. He followed the others out to the front room, taking his seat to start Armsmaster Squares.
I'll be speaking with Ambassador Clearwind today, Gregory said. Roshana, I'm gonna have you sit with us. He'll want to ask about the dates your family makes.
Gladly,
Roshana beamed.
Ling, you get another hour with the Ambassador's office enchantment.
Good. It's complex, and I need a lot of time to study it.
Ling nodded.
Jen, you'll have Ava Hernadaughter show up to ask for a spar. She's very polite about it.
That'll be nice. She pushed you, so I want to test myself.
Gregory saw Mindy chew her lip.
Mindy, Priest Lita will be there today, too.
Oh, good.
Mindy exhaled.
If Jen and Ava go all out, I'd feel better with help.
They keep it to weapons, Gregory chuckled. The fighting ring is smaller than Jen would really need it to be to use her speed against Ava's spear. Lita's excited to talk about healing with you. Jen will get a broken collarbone, which you heal perfectly, and Lita will gush about it.
Because you're a great healer,
Roshana grinned, nudging Mindy slightly.
Okay.
Mindy turned red, but it was all smiles. Her family praising her skills always made her chest feel warm.
Clover, Yuki, it'll be normal days for both of you. Healing items and paperwork.
Aww, I was kind of hoping for something different, but okay.
Clover pouted. Yukiko laughed, giving Clover a grin.
Maybe I can bring you some lunch. We can seclude ourselves in your office and just enjoy eating.
Clover's tail began to quiver behind her.
Yes! I mean, that sounds good.
Everyone laughed at her excited outburst, but Clover just grinned wider. She never took their laughter at her exuberance negatively. They loved her for who she was, and that only made her happier. Gregory opened the door for Ambassador Clearwind.
You've met my wife, Roshana, at the festival.
Roshana was standing next to an armchair in the sitting area of the office.
Ambassador, welcome.
I have. A pleasure to see you again, Magus.
Clearwind dipped his head to her.
Would you like some tea? It's a simple green, but will go well with the dates.
Please, no sugar or cream for me.
Once they were seated with their drinks and small plates of special dates, Clearwind sighed happily.
Oh, this is quite nice. Almost reminds me of home.
Tea with dates.
Roshana smiled.
Grandmother talked about it being common if old friends came to visit, or if a new acquaintance came by.
She is correct,
Clearwind said, then nibbled on one of the dates.
These are a delight to have here in Kroga. Do you make them?
I do. I'm even working with my wife Clover to improve them for us.
Roshana smiled, but then it slipped.
Unfortunately, we have a problem acquiring the dates themselves.
Clearwind chuckled.
I'm sure we can come to an agreement on getting them for the enhanced dates.
That would be lovely.
We'd thank you for it, Gregory said. They keep a long time and are very high in aether, making them perfect for us as snacks.
They are highly prized in Lemos for those reasons,
Clearwind said, finishing the date he'd taken first.
I knew you wanted to speak with me. It's an honor for a full ambassador to want to do so,
Gregory went on after a sip of his tea. How might I help you?
It's not help as much as understanding the past. I had questions about your posting to the Empire's northern border. I know that the other ambassadors are equally, if not more, eager to hear about it.
Yes, Gregory said softly. I lost men that year, despite my best efforts.
Clearwind sat back in his seat.
My schedule is clear for the rest of the day, Pettit, if you don't mind sharing.
I can't tell you everything, but I can tell you enough,
Gregory said, also sitting back. Roshana leaned in just a little. It would have been a touch scandalous to snuggle in company, but she was towing the line. Clearwind's gaze sharpened before he nodded slightly. Family being close in Lamaz was normal and accepted. He always thought the hard line on showing affection in the Empire was a detriment to them.
When I arrived for my posting, Gregory began.
Clearwind's lips were pursed when Gregory finished the edited story.
Only those slaves on the block when you arrived were sold that year. I'd assume the ones accepted just before your departure were as well. But the rest of your year, no slaves were sold.
I upheld the laws, Gregory said. They're quite clear and shouldn't be ignored. What's a nation if laws are disregarded?
Clearwind snorted.
Yet your nation has two sets of laws, one for the Magi and one for everyone else.
In many cases, that's true,
Gregory nodded, letting his displeasure at that be clear.
It's not how things should be, but it is what it is. Your nation has only a single set of laws, no matter who you are. Even your leaders are subject to the same laws as the common citizen.
It is a point of pride compared to Buldoon or the Empire. Kroga has only a few exceptions to their laws, but they do have them. As for the elves and Yurtiks, I'm not sure the Empire has much information on their cultures.
Not for fledgling magi in the Academy, at least,
Roshana sighed.
A pity for those using the mind path to expand themselves. Knowledge is key to helping them grow.
But your clan uses the peaceful fist, does it not?
Clearwind asked, setting his twice-emptied cup down.
It is how most of the clan strives to grow, Gregory nodded. Lionel Lighthand started it, and the clan continues to use it.
Ask Ambassador Spirit Lotus about that technique when you speak to her.
I will, thank you.
Clearwind glanced at the window, then back to Gregory.
Do you mind if I expand my magic a little?
Gregory had felt the wind user who'd been listening in, but his aether sight didn't find any shadow magic users.
Briefly should be fine.
Clearwind's magic shot to the window, breaking apart the magic of whoever was listening.
Your resonance told you they were there.
My resonance is decent for someone who isn't entirely spirit path.
Gregory smiled, using that as his answer.
Was there anything you wanted to say off the record to me?
Clearwind asked. Gregory's gaze went distant as he triggered resonance to look for the best future. A moment later, he nodded.
I detest slavery, but am beholden to the Empire's laws. That's all I can tell you, Ambassador, and even that's walking a thin line.
Clearwind's magic cut off and he leaned back.
It is. I understand that.
His gaze went back to the window where wind magic was forming another channel to spy.
Thank you for understanding my desire to shoo a fly away.
It's been an honor, Ambassador.
Did you have any questions for me? It's only fair to return the gift of knowledge.
Clearwind said.
I'd love to hear more about Lamaze, Gregory said. I've studied the laws and customs, but that is book learning. What can you tell me about the people and country?
Oh, very well. Let me see.
Clearwind smiled as he thought about how to best describe his country. Gregory returned to his office once Clearwind was gone. Shutting the door, he went to the small sofa where Roshana was sitting. Taking his seat, he pulled her into his lap and held her snugly.
Thank you for being here with me, my heart.
Roshana rested her head against his shoulder.
It is my pleasure to sit with you, husband. I'm sure one of his assistants will be by later this week to work out an offer on raw dates for making process dates.
Very likely,
Gregory murmured, his gaze going to the window where the person spying had been. Seeing that they were alone, he tilted Roshana's head to give her a quick kiss. Roshana giggled happily as he held her firmly and kissed her. Bound in his arms and loved, it was her greatest wish.
You took a small risk.
He'll be speaking with the other ambassadors, Gregory told her. The fact that my story remains the same and will be confirmed by one of the Urtik who got home will reinforce that I spoke the truth to them.
Roshana sighed happily.
Who will you have sitting with you for the others?
Yukiko for Spirit Lotus, and I was thinking of Clover and Ling for Blit.
Roshana kissed his neck.
That'd be good. Clover needs a steady hand to keep her focused.
Gregory's breath hitched at the kiss.
Ling is that. Behave. We can't do more than a small cuddle for now.
Roshana let out a disappointed sound, but she just pushed into his chest.
Oh, as my soul wishes.
Chapter 5. The rest of the day after speaking with Clearwind was calm. Gregory was glad his wives were happy with his plan for how to split who was with him for the different ambassadors. Jen and Mindy both understood that their other tasks kept them away, so he promised to arrange for them to be there when Ragnar and his sister talked with them. That was too big a family meeting for any of them to miss. However, that wouldn't be for days yet, as they had other meetings before that one. Gregory chatted with Greta during the honor fights as he'd come out for the day.
Have you been, Greta?
Stressed, Greta sighed. Things have spiraled since the festival. It's known a select few get to come fight the guard, and the demand has found the clouds.
People are causing problems.
Not yet. It's mostly a lot of loud voices shouting right now. Would the ambassador allow for 2 units to fight a day?
Staffing levels would prohibit that,
Gregory said apologetically.
Greta tisked in disappointment. It was a slim hope. I have another alternative, if you'd be amenable to it.
What is it?
A champion coming by once a week to have a spar. In return, they'd make it known not to become trouble for me.
Gregory paused to consider it. There was good and bad in that. It was bad, as it could be any champion, even those who would go too far. But it was good in that it would further bolster the goodwill they'd been working on. The first fight ended, and the second had begun while Gregory pondered the options. If you're uncomfortable with it, I will handle it, Greta said after a while.
Who approached you with the idea?
Gregory asked.
I doubt you decided to volunteer this alone.
Rika, daughter, the one who fought Jen. She told me that Ragnar would back it, and he'd even make it down once or twice to make it clear not to harass me. Greta licked her lips when she paused. She even said that I was being considered as a sub-leader for the next raid because I was showing capability at organizing this.
Gregory's lips twitched when he was told that Ragnar was behind the idea.
High champion Ragnar backs it, huh? I might be able to sell it to the ambassador.
Gregory already knew the answer, having briefed Rudit on it that morning.
Jen will have the answer for you tomorrow.
Greta grinned, hope burning in her eyes. Thank you.
I'd approve it myself right now if I could. The chance to have another spar with Ragnar? That's something anyone in the country would jump at. Do make sure that the champions know that it'll be weapon skill alone for the fights. We don't want to harm any bystanders. That'll be a firm concession. We don't want terrible accidents.
Yes, of course. Mindy smiled, listening to them chat while watching the second fight. She wondered if Lita would stop by to assist when the champions did.
Greta, please request that Priest Lita Alexadotta attend during the champion days. That'll help ensure any major injuries aren't deadly.
I'll go speak with her today, Greta nodded, just in case we get approval.
Thank you,
Mindy said.
Stop!
Gregory shouted suddenly. The fight that had been going on was at an end. The Krogian had disarmed the Magi guard, and he'd been bringing his weapon up for a finishing blow.
You've won! Let's not tarnish these fights!
The Krogian stepped back, looking a little sheepish before he clapped his fist to his heart. With a grunt, the Magi guard saluted, collected his sword, and headed to Mindy to get healed. When they returned to the embassy, Gregory went to find Sergeant Townsend. He'd been remiss with checking in with his sergeants as often as he should, and he was going to fix that starting today. He found Townsend in the garden's gazebo, sipping tea while reading.
Townsend, mind if I sit for a few minutes?
Sir,
Townsend said, starting to rise, but stopping when Gregory waved him off.
Please sit. Is there something you need?
Need? No. I've not really checked in with my sergeants lately. It's your day off, so it was easiest to chat with you in private.
The half-elven sergeant bookmarked where he was, then set the book aside.
I have nothing to complain about, sir. The posting has been far calmer than I feared it would be.
Which is good. After last year, we could use some calm.
Full agreement from me, sir.
You'll be 22 years in service after this post. Have you thought about what you want to do at that point?
Townsend took a drink, thinking for a moment before he exhaled.
It depends, sir. As a half-elf, I'll live far longer than any non-magi. If you still need me, I'll be glad to be in your unit. The dedication you have in trying to ensure we survive is no small thing to those of us who know combat. If they post you somewhere that magi guards aren't allowed, I'd consider returning to your clan as a lieutenant.
Gregory's lips twitched.
Huh.
He'd actually looked ahead to test himself recently, and he'd seen a number of futures where Townsend was offered a position as a lieutenant.
Keep up the good work, and I'm sure something can be arranged if the unit is broken apart.
Townsend's default mean expression became slightly sinister when he narrowed his eyes.
Something you know, sir?
The future is always in flux, Gregory chuckled. But I've seen a future where you are offered a lieutenant spot.
Townsend grinned, then sobered.
Were there any where we're still with you?
Gregory nodded slowly.
Yes, but they aren't good futures.
I'll take the lieutenancy then, sir.
Gregory stood up.
I hope that's the future. Enjoy your book. What are you reading, by the way?
Townsend looked up, coughing when he did.
just a book, sir.
Gregory's eyes dipped to the cover.
Mind the later ones. They aren't well loved in the Empire.
Yes, sir,
Townsend said, having tried to hide the book's cover with his hand a little too slowly.
You said you learned from them, and, well, the others and I have been reading them to glean insights.
Lighthand was a great man, Gregory said softly. Just don't let yourself be caught by someone who'd call his words treasonous.
Yes, sir.
Gregory took his leave. He was proud of his men for reading Lighthand's journals, but he did worry about if the wrong people saw them doing it. The next few years should be safe enough for them to keep reading them. Gregory stopped in the stables on his way back inside the embassy. He fed Legacy a carrot, petting his steed for a few minutes before Basil and Hans saw him.
At ease, Gregory chuckled as the two had come running over to salute him. Everything okay?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir,
the boys replied. Gregory gave them his full attention. Basil would be up for age day next year. That would really move his life in one direction or another. Hans was still years away, but would see his age day before the posting was over. From what Yukiko and Jen had said, their squires would all be in the same boat. They'd all reach their age day before the posting was done.
I'm just checking in with people, Gregory smiled at the pair. I hope the lack of extra pies hasn't been a problem.
Hans flushed.
No, sir. The cooks take good care of us. We're not in the field, sir. We understand,
Basil said a second later.